thank you. We thank you that we get to come boldly into your throne and we get to sit down and we get to hear from you, Father. Hear from you today, words for our life, words that directly go into us, and Father, words that we can distribute. And I thank you, Father, that we have ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart to prepare today to receive from you. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. Okay, we're going to jump right into the Word of God. If you have your Bible, you get 10 extra points of a lollipop downstairs. No. If you have your Bible, open up to John chapter 4. If you have it on your phone and you're not going to get distracted, oh, Lord, you know, I can go down a rabbit trail. So I get my Bible, okay? Open up to John chapter 4. I'm going to read this in a moment. But how many of you remember this story? This story. There's a woman, and she's talking to Jesus at this well. How many of you remember that story? So she's talking to Jesus. Jesus is talking to her. And she, along in the conversation, she asked Jesus for some water. And Jesus says, oh, lady, I'll give you some water. But the water I'm going to give you, man, you'll never thirst again. Anybody remember that story? So, aren't you thankful, if you are a believer, that you really have a relationship with Jesus? You don't have to thirst after what the world's offering. But it's not good. It's, you know, the world's giving stuff. So I'm so thankful. I don't have to do that. Now, Jesus then, after this little thing's going on, they're talking at the well, Jesus then says to her something about her life. Jesus starts telling her something about her life, and she's like, oh, wait a minute, I want to go get my husband. And now this is the crazy thing. Everybody say crazy. He starts reading her mail, right? He starts telling her her mail, like, you know, lady, Woman, nice woman. The guy that you're with right now is not your husband. He's the fifth guy, all right? He starts reading her mail. How many of you would like someone to walk up and read your mail about things that you, right? Okay, but he starts reading her mail, and this is the crazy part. It triggers something in her that totally changes her life for the good. Everybody say for good. Now, you all at John chapter 4? Here we go. Verse 29, John 4, 29. So she's telling her village, her community, this stuff. And she comes and she says, come and see. Everybody say, come and see. Come and see a man who told me everything I did. Now, stop for a moment. I happen to have read the whole story. I read the whole story, and he didn't tell her everything that she ever did. Matter of fact, if you're like 40 years old and I got to tell you everything about your story, we're going to be here for a while, right? So he didn't tell her really everything she did. But think about this. He told her the thing that had boxed her in sin in her life, and it set her free. But she's going, he told me everything I did. No, he didn't, but it was good, all right? So let's keep reading. Come and see a man who told me everything I did. And then she goes like this, could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came from the village, streaming. Swipe, from the village. Okay, Pastor D, stay on track. I will. Okay. So she's got Jesus who read her mail, and then she goes and tells everybody in the town what he said, and now they're coming to see. She actually, guys, listen to this. She started a chain reaction. She started a chain reaction simply by telling her story. That's all she did. She told her story. And she just told a story. So here's what I'm here to tell you today. You have a story. Everyone here has a story. And some of you are thinking, oh, no, Pastor D, my story, it's kind of like, worthless. No. I want you to know you have a story. I have a story. And God wants you to tell your story. So watch what happens next. She has had Jesus read her mail, and it just radically changed her. And then she goes telling everybody. She's inspired everybody to come and see. Now turn over to verse 42. Jump down to verse 42, John 44:42. And then they said to the woman, "Now, what? We believe." Okay. What happens when you tell somebody your story? What happens when you tell somebody your story? Well, right here it says, "Now we believe." Guys, you have a story that you need to tell so we can get to that last part, all right? So keep reading. "Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard of him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." If you're taking notes, write this down. Come and see. Come and see and go and preach. Come and see, go and preach, okay? Now, I've heard a lot of your stories, okay? And you happen to go to a church, you get to hear my stories like all the time. You get to hear about my life. You get to hear about my family's life. You get to hear my story about stuff I'm going through. Y'all get to hear my story, don't you? All right? Now, but I am not the only one with a story. All right? Sometimes you think, "Oh, Pastor D, you have a story." No, you have a story. Everybody look at somebody and say, "You have a story." I dare you. Go, girl. Okay. All right? Now, I love to tell you, but you don't have a choice in this tell the story. Yeah. Open up to Matthew 16, Mark 16. All right? You know, people are like, "You know, Jesus, he came and did it all, and he said, I'm done, and now y'all don't have to do anything. You don't have to tell anybody." Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. Okay, y'all at Mark 16? Mark 16, 15. "Jesus said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all little people, all kinds of people.'" Our vision at YCF is to gather, grow, and go. Go. Go to those that are far from Jesus. And guess what? We didn't dream this up. We got it right out of Jesus' mouth. He's commanded us to go. Everybody tell everybody to go. Okay. So what does he want you to go and do? He wants you to go and tell people your story and come and see. Go and tell people your story. Okay. Now, you might think, been there and done it. I'm not no preacher. I can't do that. Well, it's just sharing your story. I didn't ask you if you were going to come up here. I just want you to tell your story to people. Everybody say, "Tell my story." So I want to ask you a couple of questions. You should write them down, okay? What story are you telling? What story are you telling? All right? I said this last night. Who was I talking to? I was like, Pam. I said, "You know, life can get a little messy." Anybody, life got messy, okay? Life gets messy. And, you know, we can start telling the mess-ups of our life instead of telling people, "Jesus came into my life and he's changed my life." Okay? Jesus came into my life, he changed my life. So write down, what story are you telling? Here's another one. What story does your life tell other people? What story does your life tell other people that are looking at you? Okay? What do people see when they look at your life? Now, I'll just leave that away. Come back to that one. Okay. I have to think about 2020. I'm glad it's 2024, but 2020, I think we got off track. And social media, we got way off track. And people are on social media, not me. Never, never. But I'll see y'all, okay? But we got on social media and we post our opinion. And we post our pet peeves. And we go, bah, 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 bah. Okay? So what story does your life tell other people? Here's my third one, okay? Is your story all about hate instead of love? Hate instead of love? Your story, and listen, stories get messy. But I'm going to finish my story and say, but Jesus came into my life, and he has changed my life. And I want you to know, he keeps changing my life. How about yours? Right? Okay, so Jesus came into our life, and we have a story to tell. Now, Jesus did come to earth, okay? But before he came to earth, there were already stories going on. There were already stories going on before Jesus hit the planet, okay? Think about your Bible here. Got your Bible? I opened it up. This Bible's got stories in it, all right? Now, not just stories, but I'll tell you, the stories in this Bible are better than anything Steven Spielberg ever dream up, okay? They're powerful, but it's stories, right? Your Bible, it's stories. Now, think about Abraham. It's a story. Think about Noah. It was a story. Why do we remember Abraham and Noah? Why do I remember them? Aside, if you were downstairs in children's ministry, I dressed up and did the story. Why do we remember the story? Because we remember stories, okay? God has wired you to remember stories. So I'm so glad the Bible's full of stories, all right? So now, let me ask you this question. How many of you can remember, for me, way back, but how many of you can remember being back in school every day? Every day in school. Now, how many of you remember everything you learned in school? No. Now, some of us remember some things because we use it, right? But, you know, I was in school for a long time. I don't remember, okay? And you probably don't remember. But listen to this. You know what I do remember? I remember this movie. Now, don't judge me. I remember this movie. I remember what was in the movie. I remember what they said in the movie. I remember how I felt in this movie. I can even quote some lines from this movie, okay? Now, for all of you that are young like me, do you remember the movie Jaws? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, I remember this movie. I remember who I saw the movie with. So, the movie came out in the summer, June of 1975. And I am a lifeguard in North Jersey of a complex of three pools. And on a given day, we have 20 lifeguards on staff. That's how big this place was. Okay, they had a kiddie pool that was bigger than the stage. I mean, it was just this big thing. I was having the time of my life. In the morning, I'd come in, I'd teach swimming, and then from noontime till closing, I was one of those lifeguards. And that summer, in the summer of 75, I went with 20 of these lifeguards to go see this movie. Okay, you know what our jokes were the rest of the summer. Okay, so you're just swimming around. We only did this to lifeguards, and someone would sneak under and grab you and pull you under. Okay, those are the kind of things that we did, just real good fun. And then somebody would be going, nah, 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 you know. Okay, so I remember this. You know why I remember? It was a movie, and it captured my heart, and there was a story. I still remember this movie, and the music comes on, and I got in fear. Ah, you know, okay. Some of you are like, oh, Pastor D, we're faith people. We don't get into fear. Oh, be quiet. Just go with me, okay? I wasn't born again then either, too, okay? But I can still remember this movie because a movie moved my heart, and it was a story. Now, let me ask you this question since you didn't see Jaws. By the way, I think a bunch of my kids watched this movie a couple years ago, and they're like, that is so not real. Well, in 1975, it was the biggest thing going. It looked real. Jaws, jeez. Okay, you should go watch it. All right. When you hear a story, what do you normally do? So for those of you that watch TV, if you hear a story about a person on TV that's sick or someone's kid who is sick, normally what do you do? And then they're asking for money, okay? And what do you do? Normally, or sometimes, some of us think on it, but normally we're going to be moved by the story and we'll give something, right? Anybody? Just me, okay? Why? Because the stories move us. Stories move us, all right? So if you're taking notes, write this down. This is a goodie. Information passes through us, but stories stick to us. Information, guys, will just kind of go through us. And you know, on Sunday morning, I'm giving you a lot of information, so you should write this down, okay? But you know, when I tell a the stories from the Word of God, or even if I tell you a story about my life, stories, especially those Bible stories, they'll change people. Stories change people, okay? Why? Because when you hear that story, it starts resonating on the inside of you. It starts moving you, especially those stories from the Word of God, and it opens up your heart, and then God can speak and move through your life. So stories are amazing, aren't they? They're good. Don't worry, I got a lot more stories. Okay, now, if you're taking notes, write this down. We are carriers of the greatest story ever. I could cry right now. It gets me. You and I are carriers of the greatest story ever. Whew. Now, I'm going back to way back when I was just a kid. Some of you that are young like me, but way back then when I was a kid, do you know how many stations we had on our TV? 3! NBC, ABC, and CBS. 3 stations at it. And you're thinking, well, what did you do? We went outside and played without helmets on and all sorts of crazy things, you know. Amen, amen. But now, you turn on, there's hundreds of stations on your TV. And then if you have social media, man, there's swipe, swipe story and another swipe, swipe story and then another story and another story, like thousands of stories. And somebody just pointed this out. I don't know. Did she say it was on TikTok? I don't know this stuff anyway. But they have stories. They have these grandmas that are famous and all they do is tell stories. Yeah. Someone showed me that. And I was like, just you wait. Okay. Guys, reason why. People love stories. People love stories, okay? And here's why. Now I got to get a little technical. Neurologists and psychologists have found out that your brain thinks stories. Oh, that's why. Okay. Your brain thinks stories, okay? And you're probably thinking, oh, Pastor D, where are you going? This is what. You have a story. You have a story, and your story, you need to tell people your story. So people that don't know Jesus, and then say, come and see. Why do you say that, Pastor D? Because, where's my card? Next month, like in a couple days, you're going to flip your calendar, and we're in March. And at the end of March, March 31st, Easter. After I got over the shock, what? Easter in March, not April? Ugh. Yeah, Stacy, I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Okay, but listen, next month is Easter. Next month is Easter. And how many people will you go by that you will have an opportunity to invite them to come and see? Come and see. Pastors D, what would they come and see? Everybody say our kids. Our kids, anytime we get our kids on stage, we just start laughing, okay? Guaranteed, okay? And they're so cute. They're so cute, all right? So we are going to have kids on stage for a little bit for Easter, okay? Well, come and see. I don't have kids. Well, listen, those kids will open your heart. One year, I don't know whose it was, but some kid was doing something, little child, excuse me, and I am slipping lower and lower in my chair, laughing so hard, just laughing, and I didn't want anybody to see me. I kept going down, okay? So kids, this will open your heart. And then for Easter, we have a worship. We have a worship service, and they have special things going. So what about worship? Worship is another thing that opens our heart. When we come and see, it'll open our heart, okay? And then I will get up, and I'm going to prepare a message. Matter of fact, I've been working on this message that if you invite someone to come and see, they're going to hear the story. They're going to hear the greatest story ever, okay? And I will tell you, I will guarantee you, I will give them an opportunity at the end to accept Jesus and say yes or no or maybe later, okay? That's okay. And you know, sometimes we forget. We forget that when you invite someone to come and see, okay, sometimes it's going to be the first time that a seed is planted. they're going to come and see. And it's just like the first time. I remember the first time I was like shell shock, okay? Okay. So some people will come and it'll just be a seed. Other people are going to come and they've got the seed and this is going to be a day of watering. Everybody say water. Water, 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 water. And then there's going to be people, they're ripe, okay? They are going to come and see, and their heart is ripe, and they're going to come into the kingdom of God, receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in eternity, okay? So, I really believe that God knew what he was doing when he put stories in the Bible. Amen? Okay? Why? Because they grab us. Now, here's a story. How many of you remember this story? This is a story. I'm going to say story a lot today. This is the story where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he looks off and he says, see that mountain over there? You can say to that mountain. How many of you remember that story? All right? Jesus said, you can say to that mountain, be thou removed, be cast in the sea. Don't doubt in your heart. Believe in your heart, and you can have what you say. Now, by the way, the Word of Faith people didn't write that. Jesus did. Jesus said, you can say, come on, you remember that story? And I see him talking. You can say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea. If you don't doubt in your heart, believe in your heart, you can have the things that you say. That's a story, baby. All right? That's a story, and you get a hold of that story. Man, someone says, how's your Friday? I said, I'm stomping on the devil, and he's running. I believe the story. Amen? We've got carriers of the greatest story ever. All right, so I want to go help you with a few things. So turn over to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Acts 3:1. I only had 2 cups of coffee today. It's not bad. Okay, Acts 3:1. Acts 3:1. One day. Everybody say, one day. One day, Peter and John were going to the temple, going to church, right, at the time of prayer at 3:00 p.m. You know, 3:00 p.m, that's kind of a weird time to go pray. But listen, those boys were going to church to pray. They were going to go pray. And you know what that tells me? We ought to pray. All right, and I talked about this, I don't know what week ago, about prayer, carving out a time at least once a week where you just, you know, get your hit list. And you go and you just go talk to God. Ask him things and you go pray, okay? I'm a creature of habit. I love change. Okay, so when I do the South Salem Church Road to East Berlin Road, I'm praying. No music on. I pray. So carve out something. It doesn't have to be. Now, it's lovely. I do pray sitting down in the office, but come on, prayer. All right. Listen, there are times during worship, you watch me. I got my eyes closed, and I'm in prayer. Father God, I acknowledge your presence here, this place, right now. Father God, I acknowledge you today. Okay, and then I start singing again, all righty, all right? You ought to go home and try that today. Go home, shut the door, just, you know, go in the bathroom door, close the door and say, Father, I acknowledge you and your presence here now in my life in Jesus' name. And listen, you don't have to have the band. You don't have to have the singers, but I want to tell you, thank you, thank you, thank you, you guys. They are awesome. But they're the icing on the cake. But you can go home and you can do this by yourself. Father, everybody say, Father, I acknowledge your presence here. Amen. Amen. And listen, and every time you open up your Bible, you grab your Bible, you open up your Bible, this is what I do. Father God, I acknowledge you and your presence in this word, Father, you said it is sharper than a two-edged sword. Father, this word today, just cut stuff and show me out of my life. Father, I acknowledge you. Amen. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. That's a goodie. You should write that down. Amen. All right, everybody say one day. One day. So we got Peter and John, they're going to the temple, they're going to pray. Verse 2, ready? Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts, okay? Have you ever had to ask somebody or beg for something? A couple months back, I shop at Aldi's, and they have all the shopping carts out front, and they're all chained together. Can't get one until you put a quarter in. And I was going to do my big week shopping, and I had changed purses, and I had is a credit card. I didn't have 25 cents to go get the cart out. And I'm sitting in the car going, oh, I should go home. No, get off. Come on, girl. And I did not like the feeling of begging for a quarter. But I did, okay? Now, think about this guy every day begging, all right? How do you think he felt? Okay, keep reading. Verse 3, when he, the beggar, saw Peter and John about to enter into the temple, he asked them for money. He was begging. Gosh. Whew. I mean, how do you think he felt? Verse 5. So the man, verse 4. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, look at us. Look at us. I think he's probably thinking, oh, something's about ready to happen. This could be good, right? All right? Okay. And verse 5. So the man, the lame man, gave them, Peter and John, their attention, expecting to get something. Everybody say expecting. Everybody say, I love you, Pastor D. Okay. How many times, not us, do people come to church not expecting anything? You don't expect anything, you're not going to get anything. Just the way it is, all right? Now, I'm not expecting anything. Oh, my gosh, they're doing that worship thing. Oh, my gosh. 3, 4, 5 songs. All right, okay, they'll be done with it. And then pastor will get up and then she'll do her thing. You ain't expecting nothing. You ain't going to get nothing, right? But what if you come into this place expecting, like, not from me, expecting God to say something to you, expecting God to give words into your heart from you. Whoa, church will be different that day, won't it? Yeah, all right. How about worship? How about you come expecting, okay, be nice, Pastor D. Like, come on time, not a half hour late because you don't like worship. Okay, nice, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay. I'll talk over here because you don't do. So how about come expecting and worship? God's going to fill this place. Signs, wonders, miracles, visitation, demonstrations. You come in, I love when y'all come up, okay? Come up to worship. I thought, man, they're expecting. Okay, they're going to come up and worship their God. Their God, all right? Now, some of you, not doing that, Pastor D. That's okay. But I'm telling you, I believe God's looking down and goes, whoa, they're expecting. They don't care what somebody thinks about them worshiping or down here. Woo, man, I love that. I think that's what God says. As a matter of fact, how many of you remember the story of David? He comes marching in town after this big victory, and he is dancing. And his woman, one of them, that's seven of them wives, okay. She's like ragging on him. You're just showing everything off, David, okay. And David's like, whoa, I am not worshiping for these people. I have come to worship my God. I am worshiping him. I am not doing this for people. Amen? Man, you change your attitude. Woo! Praise the Lord. Okay. Acts chapter 3, we just finished reading, and this guy had a one-day experience. That's why I said one day. One day he had an experience, right? Now, Pastor D, you're so far out there. Good, come and join me. But I tell you, this is my prayer. This is my prayer. Father God, I believe the soon as somebody's tires hit our parking lot, today's the day they're going to have a one-day experience with you, Father. If they don't know you, they're going to come to you. If they do know you, Father, you're just going to blow them out of the water. I'm believing for a one-day experience for everybody that hits our parking lot. Amen. Y'all out in left field with me? Come on, it's great. But how about this? How about if there's someone that comes, come and see, Okay, someone comes to have their one day experience, and you get, this is not us, you know. You get all uppity. They're sitting in my seat. Don't you know that's my seat? I save it for my family. They're new. They don't know it's your seat. You tell me. Okay. Okay. And they got kids that are just doing whatever. They're new, okay? And they're scribbling on the cards in front of you. Pastor D doesn't like that, but that's okay. They're new, and you're rolling your own. Hello? Okay? But listen, this guy that we just read, he was expecting, okay? And when people come, because you're going to invite them to come and see, right? They're going to come and see. But when you invite them, they don't know about being expecting. They don't know nothing about that, okay? But how about we all are expecting for them, right? We're going to do the expecting. We're going to do the praying for them. We're going to invite them. We're going to tell them, come and see, all right? The greatest story ever told, all right? But so we're expecting for God to move. Amen? Amen. We're going to do something at the end of the service. Okay. All right. I don't know where I am. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Acts 3, verse 6. So this guy came expecting, and then Peter talks to him. He's got his attention, right? Acts 3, verse 6. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. The guy's heart's got to be sinking. What? I need silver. I need gold. I need money, right? Silver and gold I don't have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Okay. Every one of us have something to give. We have Jesus. Every one of us, Peter says, I may not have silver and gold, but what I have, I give you. You have a story to give. You have a story. Jesus came into my life and he changed it. Man, I have a story. You have something to give, right? Now, this particular story is dealing with healing, okay? Okay, but really, first and foremost and most important is salvation. Salvation is the most important thing that will ever happen to anybody on the planet, okay? And yes, this, you know, I'm talking about salvation. And Pastor D, what about healing? I love healing. Raise your hand if you love healing, amen? I'm not against healing. I love to hear about how God moves in your life, okay? But here's the thing. This tells us that we have to go and tell people the story. Amen? All right, verse 7. Okay, I'm preaching off of my, here we go. Verse 7. Taking him, this is Peter, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet, he began to walk, and then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising the Lord, okay? This guy had a one-day experience, yeah. And you know, so interesting, the story starts where Peter and John were going to go pray. Its story started with prayer, y'all, and then this guy had his miracle. Prayer, kind of important, all right? Now, this story continues to chapter 4, so turn over to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else. Salvation is found in no one else. Now, wait a minute, Pastor D. This guy got healed. What do you mean salvation? Oh, listen. The most important thing that can happen to anybody that walks through the doors of this church is salvation. The day they receive Jesus Christ, their life changes. Amen? Okay. Well, Pastor D, don't you want to see people get healed? Absolutely. Amen. How about you? Okay? But keep reading. Here we go. Okay, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, and they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Everybody say, these men had been with Jesus. All right. Guys, the key is not how educated you are. It's not how much you can quote Bible scriptures. That's not it. The key is that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. Praise God. Okay? And so every single day for you and I go, Father God, I acknowledge your presence. Father, you are my Father. I am in awe. And it is in you and through you that I'm just here. Amen. Okay. Today, before I even walked in the door, who was here first today, by the way? Was that you, Wanda? Who got in here? Michelle unlocked it? Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Worship team, thank you. Okay. So I come rolling in around 8:39. But I tell you what, before I got here, I'd been with Jesus. Okay? Now, when I had four little kids, Sunday morning, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Whew. Yeah. Okay. So had I been with Jesus, it wasn't sitting down for an hour. Any parents go, yeah, you're not kidding, all right? Okay. But I would stop some point in time in the shower. Okay. Father, I just acknowledge you today. In my life, all right? So you can do that. You can do that, okay? But what if you've been with Jesus before you walk in this place? We're going to have church, baby. All right? Let's be with Jesus, okay? You'll change this place, this atmosphere, okay? All right, verse 14. I want you to see verse 14. Here we go. But since they could see the man, okay, they. So they got called on the carpet by the religious bunch, okay? Since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, watch this, there was nothing they could say. All right, if you're taking notes, write this down. This is a goodie. People can argue and fight about information. Oh, yeah. Okay, but people can never argue and fight about your story. Everybody say, I have a story. Yeah. People fight about information, but they can't fight you on your story. Why? It's your story. Just be real. Tell your story, all right? Listen, I've been telling my story for decades, okay? I just go tell my story, and then some days I'm like, I don't know if I remember my story. Yeah, I remember my story, okay? I'm going to tell my story. Be real. Tell your story, all right? Okay? And there's nothing anybody can say. I'm just telling you how it happened to me. Amen? Okay, so your story, tell your story. And you might be thinking, Pastor D, I am not good at telling this story stuff. You know, that's just not who I am. I didn't ask you if you were the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. This is for all believers. You have a story, and you can tell it. Okay? You tell your story. All right? So I want to talk about, I want to talk about the lies, the enemy. By the way, we have an enemy. Surprise! We have an enemy, and the enemy will tell you lies. Like, you can't tell your story. What, are you kidding me? Or how about this one? You shouldn't tell your story, all right? You know what I love about being a believer, especially you guys here? We just tell it. We are honest and we are transparent. We just tell our story, okay? And you know, everybody here of Joyce Myers? I remember the first time I heard her on a radio. It was a long time ago. And I thought she was a guy because she has that voice, okay? And she starts telling her story. And at the end, I thought, shoot, baby, I'm not that bad. But listen, she's telling the story. She's newly saved. She's teaching a Bible study, right? Smoking her cigarette, teaching the Word of God. She is transparent, right? Just be honest and transparent. Tell your stories. But, you know, Joyce's stories, it's like, this is how I was. Now, let me tell you what God's done in my life. So tell your story. Don't get all hard up on your story. Like, ah. Okay, let me tell you. Lies the enemy will tell you. Number one, the lies the enemy will tell you is you are unschooled. In other words, you are not qualified to go tell the stories. You know, you just don't know enough Bible scriptures. You are not qualified. Listen, this isn't about being qualified or not qualified. You have a story, okay? Just tell your story. Amen? Tell your story, Okay? Let me give you a scripture for that. Acts 4:14. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So, in other words, they can't say anything about your story. Just give them the hand. Yeah. All right? And they weren't dishing out facts about the man that was healed. You know, all these facts that people love to argue about. They just said, hey, here's the man. This is the story. He's standing. He's healed. Just tell your story. Tell your story, okay? Second lie that the enemy loves to tell. Your story is too ordinary. You know, I got saved at 5 and I've just, you know, nothing special. Mine's just ordinary. I've heard that a lot. And, you know, like, yeah, but you know so-and-so, their story. Whoa, they were like chief sinner. They did this, they did that. And then God got a hold of their life and like Paul of Damascus thrown on the ground and like totally changed. I don't have a good story. You have a good story. He has a good story. Just tell your story, okay? Just tell your story. There's no story that's too ordinary. Amen? I have to give you scriptures. Acts 4:13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary, they were astonished because they took note they'd been with Jesus. So what? I'm ordinary. Everybody say, so what? Could do this thing. Yeah, big deal. You get to roll your eyes, okay? I'm going to tell my story. I've been with Jesus, right? Praise God, praise God. Here's the last one. So you are unschooled. That's the enemy's lie. You are too ordinary. Here's the last lie. Your story won't make a difference. It's not going to make a difference, okay? And I think I told this story a couple weeks ago. It's my friend Joe, who's now a pastor, but he grew up, North Jersey, Italian, okay? And he comes and he meets Jesus. Jesus gets a hold of him. And then he's got all these brothers, and they all get born again. They get saved, meet Jesus. And then his mom. And they're Italian. So you know what Italians are. They're Catholics. I am one. When it was. You know, once you're always a Catholic, you know, in the Catholic Church. Okay. Pastor D, stay on track. Okay. So Joe and his family, his brothers, and he gets saved, and his mom gets saved. But Dad's Mr. Italian. Dad's Mr. Italian, and he's threatening to throw them all out. Like, y'all can live in the shed, right? And he's just like, ugh. And then he's like this. I don't need Jesus. You all do. You guys were bad. You need Jesus. I don't know Jesus. I got a way to Jesus. There's no back doors to Jesus, y'all. What is it? He is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. There's no back doors to Jesus. So Joe and his family, his brothers and his mom, they're doing, anybody ever hear of chick tracks? Oh, you are young. So there used to be these little, you two back there already know what I'm talking. So there used to be these little tracks. They're like a couple pages. And Joe and his mom and brothers would leave them, because I did this to my family. They were Catholic. We'd leave them on the nightstand. And then in the drawer where the knife, fork, and spoons are, I'd stick them in there for my family that were Catholic. You did this. Well, Joe and his family doing it. I laughed so hard when he told me the story. And Dad would find them, you know, Mr. Italian, and he'd rip him up, and he'd just throw him in the trash, and he'd just be so furious, okay? So this went on, and lo and behold, it's Easter Sunday. So Joe and his brother and his mom, they all go to church. I didn't say mass. They all went to a church, okay? And they all take up this row, and they're sitting there, and next thing, Joe, in walks Dad. And have you ever done, this is me, I say this one, don't move a muscle. Just keep your face. Just look with your eyes. Because this face might say something, okay? So everybody and his brothers and mom, they're like, Dad sits down. Just sits down. And the pastor, of course, it's Easter Sunday, so he heard the salvation. Jesus on the cross died and rose again. And he asked, the pastor says, if anybody would like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I'm going fast and stuff like that. Raise your hand. So they're all doing the, and Dad does two hands. And they're like, you got to hear Joe tell the story. It's so funny. And my friend Joe said, I want to listen to nothing that pastor was saying. I was just watching Dad. Why did that happen? Well, one, they had been telling Dad their story and leaving chick tracks and telling their story and telling the story. And that day, that pastor told the greatest story ever. Changed the dad's life. Amen. Okay. So we're going to close with chapter. No, you don't have to get up, Michelle. We'll close with the last scripture. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. I love Michelle. Michelle, we go way back. Yeah. Amen. Open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Okay, Romans 10 is how we do all of this. It's sort of like it puts the puzzle pieces on the together. Romans 10, okay? So when you think your story won't make a difference, I'm telling you, there'll be somebody that your story will make a difference. I remember that person whose story, that was it. I was a goner, all right? So guys, your story will make a difference. Okay, I said all that just so you can get to Romans chapter 10. Here we go. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Romans 10, 8. In fact, it says the message, but we're going to say the story. In fact, it says the message is very close at hand. It's on your lips and in your heart. And the message, the story, is the very message, the story about faith that we preach, okay? Faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus. You still, you know, salvation is only through Jesus, guys. And faith in Jesus changes everything. That's why I like our card. It says Easter changes everything. Faith in Jesus changes everything. It changes everything, okay? I put my faith, and the world's crazy today. It's just like, I've lived long enough going, what? You thought the 60s were what? This is what, okay? The world's crazy. But I put my faith in Jesus, the one who is not crazy, the one who is the solid rock I stand on. Amen? I put my faith in him, and he's the rock, and he's taken me through crazy, okay? And he doesn't let go, all right? Okay, verse 9. If you openly declare Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him, Jesus, will never be disgraced. The Jews and Gentiles are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on Jesus. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. All right. I'm going to read verse 14. Here we go. But how can they call on him, Jesus, to be saved unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in them if they have never heard of him? And how can they hear of him unless somebody tells them the story? Right? In a few moments, we're going to pray. We're going to pray about Easter, that people come and see and hear the story. Amen. Okay, verse 15. And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? And this is why the scripture says, I quote this scripture a lot, how beautiful are the feet of the message, the story, messengers who bring the good news, the story. All right. Praise God. We're going to do some faith, you know, faith stuff. Okay? I want you to stand up. We're not leaving yet. Michelle, you can do the la 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 la. Okay, thank you. All right? Okay. We're going to pray over every person that you invite to sit in these seats. Because you have a story, and you can say, come and see. So we're going to pray over these seats. Now, spread out. Make sure you got hands on a seat. There's some of you, there's some empty seats, especially the empty seats. Go put your hands on there. You know, Pastor D, I can't tell my story. Yes, you can. Pastor D, I can't tell my story at the job. Yes, you can. Who said you can't? My boss said I can't tell my story. Well, if you're having a personal conversation with that person at work and it's not on company time, you can tell the story. And then you can invite them to come and see, okay? All right, so we're going to pray, which is, you know, faith people. Come on. Everything. I'm not weird. I believe the word of God. Father God, I thank you for everyone, Father, that is going to invite people to sit in these seats, to come and hear, to come and see the greatest story that changes everything. Father, we just stretch our hands out right now on these seats, and we declare that the people that come, Lord, you are speaking to their hearts. Come, right? You're speaking to their hearts. You're preparing their hearts. Their hearts are open. They're just waiting for that invite. Holy Spirit, you're drawing on them. Come. I thank you, Father, that their hearts are prepared, and when they come, Lord, they will see, they will hear, they will know, and Father, we're believing they will come into your family, the kingdom of God. Come out of darkness into light. Come and be a child of God. Father, we are stretching our faith that these chairs are filled with people that are going to come and see and hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo, wasn't that fun? Okay, have a seat. All right. These are at the door. I'd love the pile to disappear. Go invite people. Amen. Now, if you're here today and just staying in an attitude of prayer, real serious, just close your eyes for a moment. If you're here and this message is you're like, oh my gosh, Pastor, do you read my mail? I've never received Jesus, heard about Jesus, and Pastor D, I know I need a Savior. Well, I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to pray with you. Today's your one day, amen, to experience. Or maybe you're here and you've already asked Jesus to be in your life, but you know, life got messy and you just kind of drifted away, and you'd say, Pastor D, I'm worn out. I'm ready to come back. Well, I want to pray with you. So if you're here and you'd like to receive Jesus for the first time, or you're like, Lord Jesus, I'm ready to come on back. I want to pray with you. Matter of fact, we're all going to pray this prayer. Okay, this prayer, wink, wink, this is like Romans 10, 9 and 10, right? Okay, so everybody, you just say this from your heart. If this is you and you're praying this for the first time, or you're praying this because you're like, I'm coming back, all right? Just pray it from your heart. Pray it loud enough that you can hear, okay? Just repeat after me. Ready? Lord God, I repent of my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Jesus, I call on your name. The only name that I can be saved. Come into my life. Change my life. I call you my Savior now. I call you my Lord. Amen. Thank you for coming into my life. I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, everybody look at me for a second. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, some people are like, I saw lightning bolts and they're balling, and none of that happened with me, okay? But I'm telling you, if you prayed that prayer from your heart, a miracle took place in your heart. You are new. The Bible says, my sins are washed away. God doesn't forgive them. And he makes you his child. You're a child of God. Heaven is my forever home, destination, final, right? Okay? I love that. And the Bible says that if you prayed that prayer, all of heaven is going bongos. They're celebrating. They're celebrating that a child has come home. So let's just, woo, get ready for everything. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Lord, we just celebrate you. Now, I have some altar ministers. If you would like prayer for anything, we are great prayers. We love to pray. We will agree with you on the word of God. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to give you a Bible. Like, the Bible's the beginning, right? And they'll give you some directions about that. If you prayed that prayer because you're coming back, well, come back. Come on up. I want to shake your hand, but we love you. We love you so much. So stand up. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We are blessed coming in and we are super blessed going out. I thank you, Father, for the stories that we tell everybody we meet. In Jesus' name, amen.